Hey everyone, welcome. Thank you for joining me for part two. Thanks for hanging in there. I took a break for a minute between the two parts and checked in on social media, and it's interesting how the universe works somehow. Sometimes that sorry, it's still playing on my phone. You know how things on social media will kind of keep playing over and over again. And it's this poor girl having a complete, she's an adult. She's having a complete and total meltdown over, essentially over someone passing, which is not funny. But what is funny is her reaction, and she recorded it and is screaming and is mad at the person that she chose the wrong time to die. And it's not anybody like close to her related. So we're not talking. We're talking about a political figure. But anyway, I mean, it just kind of illustrates the point, right, of the two stages we just went into, the toddler and the child. So anyway, I probably shouldn't. I shouldn't laugh, but it 2020 is just, y'all, it is just crazy. I know you know that. I've said it a lot, but we're seeing all of this because these are to remain in these stages. So as Dr. Stevens calls it, the fixation, as an adult, the fixation at these earlier stages, it really does result in a shadow aspect. And so we're seeing, you know, so again, I shouldn't laugh. It's so not funny, but at some point I think I kind of have to laugh because I'm also just like really, really, I don't know, a little bit like, okay, people, come on. we gotta move out of this. I've had enough. It's, you know, to me, it feels like, again, and I'm not trying to, make myself superior or downplay the emotions of other people and their reactions. But it does feel a little bit like we have a very large, like we're in a nursery school with a lot of small children, and it is like 10 o'clock at night, and they really need their parents and dinner and bed, and we're just all trapped together. And like everybody's done. And maybe I'm one of the children. I don't know. All I know is I think we all need to figure out how to go home and nourish ourselves and get some rest and some support, because it's getting a little dicey. So anyway. Okay. Sorry. That was, I can't believe that came up on my feed during the break. Okay. So we have talked about the infant. We've talked about the toddler. We talked about the child. So now we're going to talk about the adolescent, which, I would also like to call it juvenile. And I have a selfish reason for doing that. I kind of think it would be really cool if we like, you guys might be familiar with the Myers-Briggs, where you have like the I, like, okay. So the one I remember is I'm INTJ. Also sometimes INTF, kind of depend, like really, really like 50-50 on that last, J and F, letter. And, but you know, like the ENTJ and all of those, but I kind of have this, like, it would be really cool if it was even just for our own use, that we just looked at our different energetic bodies, our physical, our mental, our emotional, our spiritual, and just very honestly put ourselves in one of these categories and just really sat with it. And so, you know, so anyway, that's why I think I would like to put adolescent as juvenile, because that would distinguish it from adult. But I just think that would be a cool exercise for each of us to do, to dive into ourselves and just figure out where we are and where we need to be and how what do we need? That's really the thing, is it's not so much, again, it's just like getting out of the judgment. I still feel bad for laughing at her, because that's not funny. She was struggling with the idea of one of her authority figures and probably one of her the people that she looks up to having passed. And it just came out in a strange, in my mind, in a strange way. So, but this isn't meant to be judgy or condescending or, you know, nobody has to see us. Nobody can laugh at you if you really are, or I really am, an infant when it comes to spirituality. You know, but it's just, it teaches us, it shows us, it gives us a tangible way to look at what do we need. And I think that, you know, it can be hard to look at what we need. But if we can put it in this framework of when it comes to spirituality, I'm at a toddler stage. Like, what do toddlers need to really fulfill that stage in order to go to the next one versus just trying to be, you know, at the master stage? I don't know. Anyway, maybe that resonates with you. Maybe you'll get the book. I'm actually kind of thinking I might do a class, and I'll talk about that more at the end, because to me, this has a lot of relevance to the chakra system and how we can use the chakra system to go into each of these areas. So this kind of back and forth reinforcement of all the various layers. But anyway, we'll talk about that at the end. So the next stage, stage four, is the adolescent / juvenile stage. He has 13 to 19. Okay, he actually does have the comment in here. It said can be up to age 35 as adolescence is often prolonged. And so now that we're in these stages, this is where I would start putting the ages on it a little more definitively, because, and again, it doesn't matter. If you can be, you can have a 12-year-old that is at an adult maturity. I think that would be very rare, but we very often don't go up like that, but more often down. But at any rate, it kind of gives a little bit of like, you know, at age 35, should you expect to be a master? Like, there's just a little bit of a reality check, I guess, is what I'm maybe trying to portray, that when we look at the ages for these later groups, it's just a little bit of like, you know, we don't all need to be and consider ourselves to be the expert. That's not helpful either, right? To just assume that we're at the mastery stage, even at perhaps a very young, because there's just so much experience that we have yet to have and to see and aspects of the world. And there is a lot. I used to resist that a lot when I was young. I think pretty much everybody does, you know, this adolescent stage in particular. You start kind of thinking, you know, how the world works and you have a lot of opinions about how the world works. And it's often, so what happens, let me just talk about this from like, this is literally what happens as adolescents. Adolescents, basically what's happened is, you know, up to that point, we have had that reliance on the parental figures, right, in our lives, because we couldn't provide for ourselves up until the point of adolescence. So that covers the infant, the toddler, the child. They needed parental involvement to survive. Obviously at varying stages, and like I said, that balance needs to start to shift as the child gets older, the parental involvement decreases. Now, that doesn't mean not providing support, but that means starting to allow the child to have autonomy and be able to make decisions and things like that, responsibilities, all of that. So this gradual shifting happens up until the point of adolescence. Now, it even continues in adolescence, but this is where we start to see it starts to break the plane of, so now we're shifting to from predominantly parental control. I don't like that word, but you'll understand what I mean if I use it. And then as we enter adolescence, we've now broken the plane and now it's shifted to now the child / adolescent is now predominantly responsible for. Now, we don't really see that, but that is how it's supposed to work from an evolutionary standpoint. We still infantize. I'm not saying that right. But we still treat our adolescents very childlike. And if you think about, you know, when they're in high school and having to raise their hand and ask permission to go use the restroom. I mean, that is, I always use that example, but that is just, it really illustrates what I'm trying to say here. That from an evolutionary perspective, adolescence is when we break that plane where the child, juvenile, starts to come into their sovereignty, and the parents now have the lesser, you know, so we have gone from now 50-50 to parents are now below 50, right? You understand what I'm saying. And so now they're coming into learning adult, really learning adult behaviors, really being responsible for themselves in terms of personal hygiene and making sure they eat and making food choices and perhaps earning money and learning some, you know, financial skills. And so all of these things. In our society, we tend to not do a good job at this stage. And it's a tricky stage, admittedly. I mean, I'm not saying that. And there's a lot of reasons why it's tricky. It's tricky because it's a hard point for parents to let go. It is like you can feel like they're getting ready to walk off a cliff and you can't do anything about it. It's scary to let go as an adult, especially in the world that we live in that is shifting so quickly. You know, our world has changed so much in such a short period of time that I'm 45, the world looks completely different than when I was a child. And I would argue that for that same time period for my parents, that shift was not nearly as pronounced as it was for me. And then, you know, and our kids, that's only going to keep going. The world is going to keep shifting more and more quickly. And so the framework of what we understand and what we're comfortable with has changed so much that as adults, it can be really challenging to let go. Also, we live in a society that does not promote personal sovereignty, and it doesn't promote empowerment. So empowerment is really the basis, the foundation of the adolescent stage. That's really what we're talking about in this stage is that coming into that personal power, right? The empowerment. We are not empowered as individual members of our society. Again, we have a lot of people that are trapped, not trapped, but they're kind of trapped. They're stuck. They're fixed at an earlier maturation stage. So here's what we often have. So this stage is challenging for anyone, even when everything looks the way that it's supposed to. So even when you have an actual adult parenting a child who is emerging into adolescence, it is still hard to let go. Okay. But when you have a child parenting, when you have the child as a parent or a teacher or another authority figure, you have another child who is actually a child emerging into the juvenile stage and becoming empowered, the threat of that is immense. And it's not conscious. An overt. We don't necessarily recognize it overtly, but it is subconsciously. It feels threatening. And so we resist. We have a lot of quote unquote adults who don't do well when our children start to emerge into this phase, which is why we've kind of gotten this culture developed where we just really come down so hard on teenagers and we limit them in all ways because it's really hard to see someone progress past your own maturation stage as a quote unquote adult parental authority figure, right? It's threatening. And so we tend to hold back. We don't want anybody to come past. Remember, that's the aspect of the child, by the way. The child wants to be the winner, the one at the top. And so if somebody else is, you know, like creeping up and about to take the throne or that top position, there's a pushback. And so We do struggle with our teenagers because of this. And so, okay, so that adolescent stage, though, again, as I said, they're breaking the plane. What does that mean? It means they're now they're really, so now they have pushed their boundaries out. They have now, whereas their parents and their immediate family, their nuclear family, has perhaps been the majority of their world. Now they're breaking out of that plane as well. And so the expansion at this stage is massive. And so whereas they have up to this point always heard their parents as the authorities or their teachers, but they've got these core people that provide most of the framework for beliefs and thoughts and things like that. As adolescents, they break out of that and they expand very rapidly out into the world, and they basically encompass everything. And so it goes from being very small to very big. And it is just that pendulum swing of, I was over here and my parents were the authorities, and now I'm coming into my own and I got to see what the whole world has to offer. And so that's often what we see in that stage, is that rapid expansion out into the world to see what else is out there that sounds different from what they've heard their whole life. And so that's why we get this idea that adolescents are really rebellious, right? It's really not rebellion. It's just that expansion to see what else is out there. You know, it's like, suddenly you've been in a family that cooks the same three meals, basically every night, or rotates through the same three meals all the time. And then suddenly you find out there's such a thing as a buffet, and it's like, oh, wow, look at all this food I've never had before. And, you know, then they start tasting all of it. And then what will happen is towards the end of the adolescent phase, especially if this process is allowed to happen the way that it should happen, towards the end of the adolescent phase, as they're coming into the adult phase, they'll start to pare down and actually become discerning. What on the buffet did they like? What felt good? What digested well? And all of that. And so they've expanded their palate, and they'll expand it very wide just in the attempt to taste everything, experience everything. And then they'll pull it back down into like their mature palate. This is, now they've start to determine their own thoughts and their own beliefs. And often it becomes a mixture of what they grew up with and what they experienced in the outside world. And frankly, this is where we evolve. This is the point of evolution, or the greatest point of potential evolution that humans have, is this expansion out, experiencing it all, and then condensing it back in through discernment. Okay, so adolescent stage is very tricky, naturally. And then, as I said, we make it extra because we haven't matured collectively to the adolescent stage. So remember, I think I said, or maybe I said in my post, we each individually have a maturation stage, but remember, everything is fractal. So we each have a maturation stage, but then we have a maturation stage as a collective. And that tends to be that, I did talk about that, the bell curve, right? And so where's the bulk of the population? The bulk of the population, I can tell you, is not at the adolescent stage. It is situated somewhere between toddler and child. So, it just is what it is. It doesn't, we have evolved as a society. But the collective evolution, the collective maturation, is a very, very slow process. And so I don't feel like we're behind. It just is where we are. It's just where we've gotten. It takes a critical mass of people maturing and being able to pull the collective up. Right? Because as I mentioned with the children, when we were talking about adults at the children stage, if you have a large subset of those people in authoritative positions like teachers, And they're teaching the next generation. So you're passing on child. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't give what you don't have. Same thing with parents. Parents that are stuck at children at a child stage. It's hard to give what you don't know and what you don't have. And so that's why it takes a while to really pull the whole collective up, because you've got to get enough people in the upper stages that can really share, enough people that can share and teach, you know. So I think it's going to happen, as a side note, I think it's going to actually happen much more quickly now that we're in this digital age with internet, and, you know, we can reach so many people so much more quickly than we ever could in our history. So just like I said before, the world has changed so quickly just in my 45 years. We're going to see the same thing happening, where this is going to, we're going to mature through these later stages much more quickly. And that is what's happening right now, by the way. I'm not sure. I really do. I actually think we're going to be entering the adolescent stage, collectively as the whole, which is a big deal. That's a really big deal. And I think that's what we're seeing, in this massive shift and transition that we're going through. Again, adolescence in the evolutionary perspective was the start. It was a young adult, right? So it is now we're leaving childhood, entering adulthood. Now it's still an inexperienced adult, but at least it's adulthood and it's sovereignty and it's empowerment. I mean, that is the shift that is happening right now. So as I read this, think about those things. Okay. So the viewpoint is me and you. I know how you feel, but I also know how you feel about me. The adolescent, and I'm quoting, the adolescent point of view is life is more difficult now, and I have a million unanswered questions. I am looking for answers, and I am going to question everything to find out. I don't really feel understood by anyone, and I don't understand myself. If you have gone through, I'm just laughing because I'm like, if you have gone through an initiation, an awakening, a dark night of the soul, you cannot tell me you did not just understand that paragraph at the most fundamental soul level possible, right? So that's why I say that is where we are. We have this collective shifting from predominantly toddler child coming forward very quickly into adolescence. And so that's what we're going to have, an identity crisis, basically, but it's going to be that shift from child to adult. The plane has been broken, right? From authoritarian systems to individual empowerment and discernment. So let me say this, if you have a negative viewpoint about teenagers, you better get that under control right now, because that's where we're going. So it is time to shift that, any kind of negative perception of teenagers, and really see them for the empowered, amazing beings that they are. Again, that's the point of greatest evolutionary potential, is when a child shifts into adolescence. Again, quoting, teenagers are highly capable and they are mature physically. And they are fully mature physically in the sense that they can be sexually active. They can perform at advanced levels mentally, can be talented artists and musicians, capable cooks. When they are healthy, they can make decisions for themselves without much parental guidance. They are capable of living independently of their parents when necessary. They are fully able to form their own opinions and frequently oppose their parents in order to more fully achieve independence. So, I don't know. I am a libertarian. I hate to talk politics, but I tend to towards libertarianism. Not fully. I don't fully fit into any of them. But this is a good thing. This is what we need. Because you can't heal unless you heal yourself. And so really it coming into your own, this is where you have to be. That's why, you know, this first stage of the physical body moving from child into adolescence is where the personality starts to develop and interests really solidify and things like that. So this is also the stage where we can really start to take control of our healing and how we're going to be present in the world. Okay, let's see. So focus of adolescence is advanced emotional expression, drive for independence, experimentation, satisfaction of curiosity. So these are all good things that we need. Now, I hate it when the words won't come to me. One potential tripping point, maybe that's how I want to say that. A potential tripping point with this. Remember when I said as we enter adolescence, what tends to happen is everything is a possibility, right? There is not a lot of discernment. And so we tend to have these very idealistic views of this, like this utopia, like this utopic potential. When you're an adult, you realize, so let me give you an example. Okay, so I gave you the example of the buffet. I'll give you a different example that comes from my personal life. We wanted to build our house, and I remember thinking, I want to build our own house because I want to get exactly everything that I want. All right, we know, like, if you've ever gone through anything like this, you know that's not possible. So, but I was like, I just want the house of my dreams, and it's going to have everything that I have ever wanted in a house. The reality is that logistically, that can't happen for a number of reasons, whether it's financial concern or constraints, whether it's structural, the house has to go together in a certain way so that it's structurally sound. There's just a lot, like the flow might have been off or whatever, but what I found when we did the house, and don't get me wrong, my house is pretty much like maybe 95% of like everything I've ever wanted in a house, but it isn't 100%. And so 100%, we know, is one of the extremes that is not usually really possible. That's the rarity. So that is one thing that we need to also kind of keep in mind, that idealism can be a tripping point, also kind of riskier behavior, because that the expansion out is so quick and so magnified. There is risk, inherent risk, because there's still a lack of experience to really back it up. Okay. Again, wow, the time is just going. Sorry, it probably sounds like I'm like really obsessed with time. But I'm not really. Okay, so adults fixated at the adolescent stage. Okay, so adults that have not progressed out of this stage. Very sensitive to how other people feel. Self-esteem can be difficult because they're still not quite sure of their place in the world. Now, the point I want to make, though, is I think this is the stage where there's a very big difference between adults that are fixated at the beginning stage of adolescence and the later stages of adolescence. Like, I think this stage encompasses quite a bit of change, and this is the inflection point. When you look at we called them titration curves in chemistry, but it's that in the curve of transition. It's like part of the sine wave. Like if you were to break the sine wave from the bottom to the crest, right, and look at it, adolescence encompasses that exponential growth phase, between that very steep part of the curve. I'll try to post a picture when I post this online, so you can see what I'm talking about. But it is the magnitude of change during this is the biggest transformation. So there's a big difference between the beginning and the end. Okay. Highly capable individuals who excel in many fields. Again, this is adults fixated in the adolescent stage. So they're very capable. They are often very, multifaceted, keen perceptions, commitments to progressive solutions and reform. They tend to these tend to people be maybe activists involved in those types of things. Money is not a high priority. Remember, child, it was like everything really came down to money. Okay, in terms of thought and emotion, adults fixated at this stage tend to be very idealistic, as I already said, creators of new philosophies and ideologies intended to fix the injustices of the world. However, the social reforms they create are complex, highly developed, and I'm quoting, but usually include a fatal flaw. They are often emotionally attached to their ideas. The emotional lives are often intense. They welcome assistance if it promises them answers. Focus tends to be primarily on development of relationships and emotional expressions within them. They're motivators, answers to deep questions, and feeling that they are making a contribution to the world. So, these are the people who want to save the world. Okay. You tend to find them in the arts, human services. They're very experimental. They're willing to embrace, you know, trying new things. As I said before, that vast expansion out, right? Thought philosophically, in a lot of different ways. Let's see. Sorry, I'm just kind of reading through. They tend to be, this is interesting. So I was getting ready to say this and I pulled back, but this is also where you kind of see that expansion out of religion into. So this can also be represented. Again, remember I said it's that like very small world into the entirety of the world. So it is that vast magnitude of the pendulum swing. So they tend to go from one side to the other. And so if they grew up in a highly religious family, they may explore agnosticism or become atheist or, you know, question that whole. So not always, but potentially. Relationships are intense, deep, tend to be enduring over a long period of time, attracted for animals, they care for strays and collect pets, they're upset by desecration of the land. So again, it's these, it's that movement from the self to the world, and it's the encompassing of the world and caring for the world. And of course, those are all really good things. So not saying that any of those are bad, only that there may be an element of, there might be a blind spot or an element of idealism or, yeah, I mean, I'm saying both all the ways I can think of. So just a touch of perhaps unrealism that can, as he said, like that fatal flaw, like there can be the presence of the fatal flaw, like it's not sustainable. Right. So it's a fantastic idea, but it may not be implementable or sustainable. Okay. Okay. So the next one is adult. And he makes the point, adults are not fixated at any earlier level if they are acting like adults, with the exception, as I said before, that we can be triggered. So there can be, so we might generally act like adults, but there could be moments where, for whatever reason, our survival instincts get triggered through an old wound, through the memory of a trauma, through similar patterning that starts to creep up, and we can get transported back into an earlier stage. I do think that once you get to the adult stage, especially after having read this book and kind of thinking about it, and when you start to see these patterns, you really start to see them reflected in yourself when they happen. And so basically what happens, and again, it's the same idea that I talked about with shadows, that it's not the attempt to eradicate them. It is really the awareness and recognition of them so that when they come up, you see them for what they are and you're able to get yourself out of it. So, because you're able to provide what is needed in that moment. Okay, so 5 is adult. Many characteristics of adolescents are the same as those as adults, because adolescence, juvenile, is that young adult, and it, really the difference is just kind of that one, the expansion outward tends to be greater, which means that the position in the world tends to be a little bit more unsure. The individual's position in the world tends to be a little bit more unsure. And then as we go through adult, there's that contraction back in, so that there's a little bit more of a, you're still in the world, but you also know your place in the world. So you're in the world, you're of the world, but you know who you are. It's not like this amorphous, you're not part of this amorphous larger aspect. So let's see, he says age, okay, an examination of human development, quoting, shows that age 35 is a pivotal point in many people's lives. This is the time when people give up trying to please their parents and society and focus on their own personal goals. The transition is often accompanied by an abrupt change of career, a divorce, a remarriage, or a move from one geographic location to another. Many older people feel that they did not begin to live until this age. Now, I know for me, I didn't feel like I didn't live before that age, but shortly before that, we did have a move. We had always planned to have 2 children. A few years before that, all of a sudden I was like, no, I want more kids. So we started having more kids. But 35 for me, and we started homeschooling a few years before that. So for me, it was a little bit before 35, but 35, I do remember, was the year that I decided to have a home birth, which was like a big freaking deal. let me tell you. So anyway, I just say that was my own experience. Think back to your own and see if you had something in that, you know, in that time period. It doesn't have to be 35 exactly. The adult view of the world is, I recognize that we are both human beings and that you have the right to be the way you are. I just ask that you allow me to be the way I am. So live and let live. That idea of you do you, I'll do me. Being, the emphasis is on being over than doing. Quality is better than quantity. I cannot harm you without somehow harming myself. So adults see the big picture. But again, a lot of the other characteristics we already talked about, like problem solving, like seeing a problem, seeking ways to solve it, very creative, willingness to abandon the rule book in order to seek a solution, so that exploration out. Ten is, again, is that pulling back, so a little bit more detachment as to not over identify with others' problems and the problems of the world. They love discussion and philosophy, but prefer to develop their own personal philosophy and understanding of the world. The focus of adults is pursuing personal education and contributing to the welfare of others by modeling adult behavior. Spiritual expansion and understanding, making contribution to the world, enjoying the pleasures of family. Adults see themselves as the main authority. So when we're talking about adolescence, that's another one of those things. When we look at adolescence, there tends to be that somewhat paradoxical. Sometimes they're very rebellious and they don't want any feedback from authority figures. Sometimes they're very reliant on authority figures. So that, again, is one of those pivotal, and I think it shifts through that adolescent phase, as it should. But in adulthood, adults see themselves as their own authority. So I see myself as my authority. I see you as your authority. I don't think we necessarily need somebody standing over us telling us what to do, like the principal, you know. They look within for answers to questions and are more resistant to blaming others. So they accept, we adults accept responsibility and seek to correct the problem versus putting the blame on someone else. That tends to be a sign of being caught. I think it was even under the child. The child doesn't take responsibility. Or maybe it was the toddler. I can't remember. Okay, sustained by the natural environment. So you see people that are really out in nature and sustained by nature. Sensuality, whether that's physical, through the arts, through music, things like that. They don't mind working. So when they value being over doing, but when doing, they don't mind doing, working hard. So it becomes more about, less about what am I getting in compensation for what I'm doing and more about I'm doing it for the sake of doing it for the good of, the world or, you know, whatever the purpose is. And I'm willing to go deep and dig deep for that purpose. It's not just about what you're paying me. Tend to not care what other people think. They are willing to bend rules. May have strong spiritual lives, but not be religious. Again, this is his perspective on it. I'll leave that for everyone that listens to figure that out for themselves. I'm not saying, again, this isn't a black and white formula. It's just kind of a framework that one person developed, although I happen to think he did a fantastic job. I don't agree with it 100%, but I find it very interesting. Relationships feel that everything is part of a greater whole. When they part ways, it doesn't come to blows. It tends to be mutual consent and respect for differences. Okay, then stage six. Okay, so, okay, going back, how many people do we have in the adult phase in the world? I mean, I'll leave that to you to answer for yourself, but we could use more. I'll just go there. Or people at the adolescent stage is great, but I think we need a few more people kind of through in the later stages of it, really, to help pull. Again, it's not so much about judging where individual people are, but just the idea of getting our collective pulled forward. And we just need more people in these later stages. It would be quite helpful. Stage six is the elder. There's no age. He doesn't give an age. So once we get past 35, people really start moving through the different ages. I'm sorry, stages, not ages. There's no more personal agenda. Let's see, quietly powerful and effective, a unique calming effect on others. Goals are altruistic. They have a mystical sixth sense that allows them to know things that are unexplainable. Sense the future, display strong intuition, display wisdom, interested in the truth. Spiritual awareness is their main motivator, regarded as mystics and healers. Less focused on personal relationships and more focused on their relationship with everyone. So we see a huge shift here, right, from adult to this. And this is when we start talking about this. I talked about adolescents going through a transition. It is a transition and it is an awakening, an initiation. This is a subsequent though. You know, we go through more than one awakening, more than one transition. This getting to this point in my experience and what I've seen often comes through, you can have a lot of initiatory experiences, a lot of awakenings, but this one often comes as the result of a dark night of the soul. And so the difference with the dark night of the soul is just the magnitude of really forcing you in and forcing you down to the fundamental, like you can't go any lower, and you have to kind of sit there and sit in it. There's no escape. There's no, and you come to terms with everything, but you come to terms with sitting in pain. You come to terms with fear. You come to terms with the idea we like to control things, but we really don't control anything. But at the same time, we do. I mean, it becomes that embracing of the paradoxical. So this is a more, to get to the elder, you have to pass. The only way to come out of adulthood and to reach elder is to really go through a mega transition or a mega dark night of the soul. And that's why, even though he says, and that mystical, like, because when you're that far down, you have to touch into something else, really, in order to survive, because you are down to bare nothing. Everything gets stripped away, and you're like basically reborn. The reason he says these tend to be healers. Now, that doesn't mean that you go into a healing profession. Healers can be a lot of different things. Healers can be teachers. Healers can be doctors, of course. Obviously, I'm thinking of it a little different. I'm thinking of spiritual healers. But healers can be medical doctors. Healers can be politicians, though we tend not to see them in so much in the politics, because our political system really just doesn't allow for people like this. But yeah, so you can be a healer in a lot of different ways. You can be a builder who's a healer. You can be, of course, an artist who's a healer. So anyway, healer doesn't mean seeing clients and in that fashion. It can be a lot of things. You can be a writer who's, you know, lots of different, but it is that sharing of the wisdom that comes through the depth of experience. Like you've gone as deep as you can go into experience, and you have emerged and been reborn. So this is much more than the adolescent phase. This phase is that caterpillar into the butterfly phase, going through the chrysalis, the dark, the dissolving of the caterpillar body and reforming into the butterfly body. That's what this stage is. Stage 7 is master. He says masters exhibit no dragons, i.e. no shadows. So this is the point at which you're no longer triggered. You no longer go back to prior stages because you've figured it all out. Masters perceive no duality. All is one. Things are perfect the way they are. They simply want others to remember their true natures. There's no personal agenda or issues. They have supernatural abilities. They can suspend the laws of this physical universe. They can perform miracles. They're telepathic. They know the future. They exude love for all. They have no fear. There is no physical object that is a motivator for them. They are not, they are not in relationship because they experience no duality, just I. So they're lone people. So how many masters do you know? Now, this is a good point to bring this up. How many times do we take on the appearance and the illusion of being? I mean, I can think, just as I read that, a lot of people that I know that say they believe these things, and perhaps they do, right? Perhaps they're elders and they have touched on these things, but there's a difference. This is the difference between knowing it and perceiving it and it being part of your soul. Like, not even part, it is your soul. So it's like kind of like what I said when I talked about this book. Now, I'm not trying to insinuate I'm a master, but I'm just saying, as an example, you know, before I read this book, of course I knew that people acted like children. I mean, who doesn't know that? But when I read the book and I realized really how much people can be trapped in that phase and that they're really operating at that level, it shifted everything in terms of how I see people and interact with them. That's the sort of thing that happens with a master. So it's not just the, I have seen it, I know it, you know, I'm aware of it. This is the no, like the capital N, capital K, capital N, capital O, capital W. It's like the big no, just like the capital truth, you know, that is the mastery level. So just because somebody is saying these things, isn't enough. It has to be demonstrated in everything they do. To give you some examples of people he puts in this category, he does that for every one of the categories, by the way. If you get the book, you can read it. But when he's talking at this level, he's talking about Jesus Christ. And I know there's some thought that Jesus was probably married or maybe married to Mary Magdalene, but he is saying he, you know, he's got him in the mastery, which means I exist as me as a whole. Buddha, Krishna, Lao Tzu, and avatars. So anyway, so it's kind of an interesting framework. I hope you enjoyed it. I really love this book, and I'm always talking about it. And it's been years and years since I read it, but I really go back to this book all the time. I have about 10 minutes left, 9 minutes. I want to talk really quickly about the idea, and I keep saying I'm going to do classes, and I really need to like just not stop. I need to stop saying it and do it. I would like to do a class on moving through the chakra system and through these levels and awakening each one, because what happens, this is my perception of, and as I've sought guidance regarding not only these various levels of the physical, I'm not worried about, like if you need physical advice and you need nutrition and herbs, I'm happy to do that. But I just feel like that is in abundance. Where we really need help is emotionally, mentally, spiritually, energetically. I mean, all of those are energetic, but just overall energetics of, again, seeing what is mine, what isn't mine, what is mine, where are my holes, where are my gaps, how do I, you know, perform basic energetic hygiene. So that's kind of an umbrella over these other layers. But I would like to do a class talking about moving through these layers and incorporating the various chakras. Because again, if you look at the overlap, you know, we have 7 maturation levels. We have 7 chakras. And what I haven't quite worked, massaged it out. I don't have, it's just kind of like the, I've gotten the guidance. I haven't quite fleshed it all out. So I have the framework, but I haven't fleshed it out. That these correspond to each other. And so what I mean by that is, you know, infant stage is when the root chakra comes online. Toddler stage is when the sacral comes online, and so on and so forth. Child is solar plexus, even though we, you know, kind of think of that as an adolescent thing. It's actually the child. Heart is adolescence, and so on. And then, but there's also, as we keep going back, there are evolved forms of each of these levels and also each of the chakras. You might have heard that idea when people talk about astrology. So I'll just tell you, if you did already figure it out, that I'm a Scorpio. And so if you read Scorpio, it's very dark. It's very like, ew. But there is an evolution that happens within each of the horoscopes, the astrological horoscopes. The same thing, each of the archetypes, if you're looking at archetype, like archetypes, it's not just shadow and light. There can be evolved forms. Sorry, I'm starting to rush because I want to get under an hour. But there are evolved forms for all of, they're all archetypes, right? They're all patterns. But I think the same is true of these chakras and these emotional, mental, spiritual maturation stages. And if we go in and we start to evolve them, so not just making sure they're online, but evolving them through these stages, which means we would revisit being the child, but you're the child at an evolved stage. And so what kind of magic can you bring in as an evolved child, while simultaneously still having activated the adult emotional body. So hopefully that makes sense the way I'm saying it. That's kind of, I've been working on that for a couple of years now, actually, and it's kind of a big project, but hopefully now that it's resurfaced again, maybe I'll get that moving forward again. And so hopefully I'll announce at some point in class. Wish me luck. Let me put it that way. All right. So that is the discussion on emotional maturation. And the book, again, is Transforming Your Dragons, How to Turn Fear Patterns into Personal Power by Dr. Jose Stevens. If you want to check out the book. And so hopefully that doesn't get me in trouble with my Instagram post. So anyway, thank you so much. Oh, one final thing. Sorry, and this probably actually should have gone at the very beginning of the first podcast. Why do we care about these? Just to give you a tool that if, as some of these resonated with you, if you, or if you find yourself transported back to an earlier phase, right? That is where you want to go to look for the wound, the original wound. The easiest, in my opinion, the way I like to do that is via shamanic journeys. That's my own personal preference. But I do this work via sessions, one-on-one sessions. And if you're interested in exploring that, I do also offer 15-minute consults. So you get a chance to call me and talk to me and see me if you want to do Zoom. But we can talk about like really how this works. But it is a really powerful technique to use this framework to figure out where the wound happened and to go back and provide the pieces via shamanic journey. It's very powerful and very healing. So if you're interested in that, check out my website. I do scheduling there, www.rowan-wellness.com. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it so much. I have enjoyed doing these podcasts, even though I know they're not super smooth, but I've had fun doing them and I appreciate you listening. So take care and hope to see you soon.